Let's bow our heads to pray. Almighty and faithful Father, we come to Thee in thankfulness for the blessing of being able to gather together in this place of worship, where we are met together in prayer, where we plead with Thee to be near us and guide us by Thy Holy Spirit. We thank Thee for Thy word of life and pray that Thou would bless it to our hearts, guide us in the way that we should go and what is pleasing unto Thee, and give us the strength and the faith and the love for Thee that we would follow what we hear. These things we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Loved ones, let's turn to the word of life as is contained in Luke chapter 11. I desire with God's help to read from verse 37 of Luke 11 and then read on through chapter 12, verse 12. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. And he said, Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you, lawyers! For ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples first of all, Beware ye the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, Whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues, and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer, or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Desire to conclude with verse number 12. Lord, bless the reading, and may we all bow before the Lord in prayer. The occasion that we have read of this afternoon begins with a meal between Pharisees and Jesus. As he sits down, they marvel at him for not washing his hands, and he has a word to share with them. A word of woe, because the division between the Pharisees and the religious leaders and Jesus Christ was so deep, so profound. It came out with clearness as Jesus speaks. We know that Jesus came to give his life a ransom for many, that we might find salvation, that we might find forgiveness. And as he preached, he came in the flesh and condemned sin in the flesh. And how easy it is to identify the sin in its ugliness when it is seen as rebellion, and all of the lists that we could perhaps put together of the things that are against the will of God. But also, Jesus highlights here the things that are done under the curtain of hypocrisy are equally offensive to God. Our God desires truth in the inward parts, and that our love for him would be genuine. The scripture teaches us that this is the love of God, that we would keep his commandments, and his commandments would not be grievous, but that we would love the things that he loves, that we would embrace them and accept them wholly, not as these Pharisees who would desire to give a show to men that they were living in obedience and yet hate it all the time and not give their hearts and their lives in submission and willing service, although they did much. But Jesus saw their heart and spoke about their heart. And we are all before the Lord as an open book. He sees us all. He knows us all. And he will judge us all. Thanks be to God that he who sees things perfectly will be the one who judges in the end. He knows. And he will bring a just judgment, judging the actions and the motives of each individual. The lawyer that was sitting by should have kept his mouth quiet. When he speaks up to try to defend himself and saying, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also, taking offense and realizing, that's not very nice. What are you saying? You're saying something about us too. And so Jesus continues with the lawyers and the things that they had done and what he had observed. And isn't that the important thing? What God sees. Man sees in the outward appearance. He sees the tall and the strong and the capable. But God looks at the heart. He looks at those that are lightly esteemed by the world, that don't get all of the attention, that don't seem to be too strong, but are strong in faith and are strong in realizing how much we have a need for him. And he is willing to use even lowly people, even simple lives that are yielded to him in obedience and bring something of glory to his name, bring something of advancement of his kingdom and his plan for the ages. And Jesus speaks these words, and the Pharisees and the scribes, they couldn't resist. They loved a good debate. They loved some questions and bantering back and forth. And in these last two verses of verse 11, we see, and we can just picture in our mind's eye, Jesus sitting at meat with the Pharisees. And they hear what he has to say, and they're ready to fire back. And one after another, they ask questions and hoping to corner Jesus and catch him in his words. We see this time and time again in the scriptures, where they would hope that they would ask that question that's so clever that now we have him. And we have a question that the Lord cannot answer. And as they're doing this, we look out a little bit broader picture. We see people starting to come to the table. People starting to fill the room. Commoners that are coming. The disciples, they're coming. And they're seeing what's going on. Watching Jesus field these questions. I wonder what's going through their mind. Why are they accusing you, Jesus? Why are they speaking such evil towards you? They began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him. And Jesus was acquainted with being provoked and to be a man of sorrows. We know before his crucifixion that they taunted him. They said, prophesy, who is it that's hitting you? And we think, why? He didn't deserve it. He didn't deserve the ridicule. And he didn't deserve these debates. It wasn't part of his plan. It wasn't the reason he came. And somehow, we look at Jesus and marvel over all the clouds of debate and questions and poking and prodding and cornering. Jesus turns to his disciples and says, look and watch. Learn of me. Jesus knows that it's not his mission to debate and to fight with these people. He knew that he came to save those who were lost and that were in need of salvation. And he came to teach a way of life to his disciples and those that would follow after, that they would find abundance in loving him and being satisfied with everything that he can offer and provide. And so he tells his disciples first. He tells those who are his own first, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Beware of those swelling words and those shows of power and strength that, just like the bread, an unleavened bread, it's full of air bubbles and it expands. And it makes it look so big. It may look like that's the way that through strength and power, we we overcome others and our obstacles and our challenges. Jesus is saying no. Don't turn to those ways. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He tells them, there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Every secret of every heart is fully known to God. There's no intention that he does not fully and thoroughly understand. Maybe even we don't fully grasp what goes on in our hearts, but he knows, and he can try our hearts. And he can try us, and he can reveal if there is any wicked way in us, and he can lead us to the way everlasting. And Jesus is calling his disciples, don't desire the leaven of the Pharisees. Don't desire veiled sin, or open sin for that matter. But desire the love of God and the fear of God. To think more highly of what Jesus thinks about my life, who I am, what my purpose is, and where I am going than what this world might think. To think that friends and acquaintances may turn on us and may ridicule us for choosing for Jesus Christ and seeking to follow in his ways, does it matter? Should it matter? Jesus is teaching us to strive, to seek what matters to the Lord, to consider what matters to him, so much so that even our very lives would be laid down. That's how little he is saying we should be thinking of our own interest and our own gain. And it is quite easy to utter the words and pronounce them when we have life that is very comfortable and we are not under physical persecution. But everyone has that threshold of opposition that would tempt them to despair, that would tempt them to turn back. And under the temptations that we suffer, that we go through, what is the threshold that would tempt us? How much easier is it to tempt the modern person to turn away for fear of embarrassment, much less fear of death? Everything will be revealed. Everything that was spoken in the darkness will be made known. We think of what Jesus told us, what things we should speak in the darkness. When we are in our closet and we go and pray to our Father who is in secret, do you think that those words just go into the air or bounce off the ceiling and they don't go anywhere? No, they're known and they're repeated and they're perfected by Jesus who intercedes for us. He knows all those. We think of the things that are spoken in secret as the secret sins and the secret things that people want to hide. And yes, that is going to be open and revealed. And it's going to come out eventually. If not to men, it's clear to God. But for the believer who is heeding the words of Jesus Christ and who is praying earnestly and asking the Lord and wondering when is the answer going to come and wondering, am I even heard? Even those words that are spoken in silence that no one else hears, the Lord himself hears. Jesus says, I say unto my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. The disciples who would become apostles, who would be sent out into the world to preach and teach, many of them, their bodies were killed. But after that, man could not do any more. That was the worst. And what did they hope for? They hoped that in laying down their life for the cause of Jesus Christ, their hope was set firmly upon the resurrection of the dead, that Jesus Christ would bring them. And they would be raised from the dead, just as he was on that last day, so that they would be given new life. And after the killing of the body, after the ending of this physical life, that they had an eternity waiting for them. And so that God who promises that eternity and that new life, that one who will cast into hell those who reject him, those who deny him, we need to give the more earnest heed to the word that is coming from him. The word that is coming from him: fear the Lord, reverence his name, respect what he says and his commands, and ask the Lord that our heart and our mind would be transformed by the spending of time in the word, that we would love his commands. How kind his precepts are, as the children sing. Do not be afraid is the first thing that Jesus tells his disciples as this onslaught of questions and debates is swirling around them. And he continues to talk to them. I think at this point he's maybe turned his attention from the Pharisees and the scribes. He's focusing on his disciples. He's bringing this message first to them. And he brings up the sparrows. 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God. In the swirl of busyness, God is forgotten. In the swirl of activity and debates, God is forgotten by us, oftentimes. But Jesus is saying, of all of creation, all of the big animals and the small, there's some small that are sold for just a little bit of money, but God does not forget them. We need to remember that. In the hours of temptation, in the hours of swirling debates, in the hours of opposition, in hours perhaps when persecution may come, or even just the fear of being uncomfortable and unpopular, that God sees, he knows, and he remembers, even the sparrows. Did you know that every hair on your head is numbered? Who does that? Have you ever had someone take the time to count each and every hair that's on your head? How much time would that take? How much patience? And for what? Seemingly such an insignificant fact to know about you is done at all times by God. And what I think Jesus is trying to convey by saying this is not that God knows so much about your hair, but if he's so concerned and would be willing to take the time to do something that we see as so insignificant. None of your parents ever did that. Ministers never did that for you. No person has done that for you but God. What he's trying to tell you is that he loves you more than anyone else than you know. And he's willing to invest the time and go through the trouble of knowing such a small detail. And that Jesus even shared it that it meant something to him. Fear not, therefore, because of what Jesus is telling you of God's patient and patient love that is so in tune and with attention to detail, fear not. You have a reason to doubt. Jesus is giving you a reason not to fear, a reason to have confidence and to believe in his promise, to believe that the word of God is true. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. I don't think Jesus is trying to put a dollar amount on everybody's life. What he's trying to show is an extreme, that there's no dollar amount on your heart, on your soul, on your eternity. Jesus even said, if you could gain the whole world, if you could amass all of its riches, all of its influence, all of its popularity, its glitz and glamour, and you lose your own soul, it's not a worthy trade. So hear the word of Jesus today as he says and beckons with loving arms and calls us, don't be afraid of Satan's onslaught and the words that he uses and the darts that he throws. Quench them with the shield of faith. Believe in the word of God more than the words of this world and the words of Satan. Believe that greater is the one who is in you than he that is in the world. Believe it and take it when those moments when that teaching is challenged and you're tempted to do otherwise. Jesus teaches that we are to confess him before men, that we are not to be ashamed of Jesus Christ, of his cross, what he has done for us. Truly, this was the only way that we could find salvation, and there is no shame in proclaiming that truth to those who we know through our words and through our actions. And he encourages us to reflect his light, to share with others. There's a scripture in Hebrews chapter 2. That speaks of Jesus. Speaking of his suffering and speaking of his relationship with us. It says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. It became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things to bring many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctifieth are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. We are encountering and learning of a Savior who is desiring to work in our lives a work of holiness and separateness unto him, this work of sanctification that it's called, that we would be more bold and more willing to proclaim that the tomb is empty, and that Jesus has given us a new life, a new heart, a new hope through his resurrection. And as he does that work, we find seasons of pain, we find seasons of temptations, but he is so close. And it says he is not ashamed to call them brethren. We don't deserve that. And that is the mercy and grace of God. That he would receive us. If we would but see how weak and needy we are, and throw away that robe of a Pharisee that says, I have it all together, and I can do this on my own. He's not ashamed to call us brethren when we are faithfully trusting in him alone. Jesus warns the disciples that they would be sent to synagogues, to magistrates, to powers, to civil authorities, to religious authorities, to give a testimony, and to say something, to be an ambassador for the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, don't worry what you're going to say. Don't give it forethought. What is needed will be given at that moment. And what that will teach us is to trust the Lord each and every moment, at all times. I love the analogy that Jesus gave us of the branch and the vine. The branch doesn't sit on the vine in spring and then cut itself off and have some reserve of supply for the rest of the summer and into the fall to bring forth fruit. We always need to be connected in love and trust to our Savior. And that's a genuine faith that works itself out as we are here below and yield to his work of sanctification. The Holy Ghost is the one that shall teach you in that same hour what you ought to say. All of that would just a simple reminder, simple yet profound reminder of the work of the Holy Spirit and the day-to-day activity that he has in our lives. And as we go from this place, as we would seek to be disciples of Jesus Christ, who receive this teaching, who know that he was speaking this word of encouragement and love for us, that when we hear the word of the Lord, as it is brought to our heart through the Holy Spirit, perhaps through reading, perhaps seeing a godly example, perhaps seeing the world and its contrast to what we know is true, at that moment, it's the time to obey. It's the time to heed. Not to say later. The time is now. Listen, obey the Lord, and it will be a blessing to each one who calls upon the name of the Lord. May we each find that blessing to his honor and glory. Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ had a scathing message to the scribes, the Pharisees, and the lawyers. Their message was, you're not true on the inside. Others may be sinners, but you're not true on the inside. And so as this multitude, this large multitude that's very, very dense, they're troding one upon another, Jesus teaches them and says, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And so as Jesus teaches us to stay away from sin, Jesus also tells us to stay away from hypocrisy, that we would not be clean on the outside, but that we would be true to Jesus on the inside, that our hearts, that our minds, that our souls would have a desire and a longing to worship the Lord, to be obedient to the Lord, to love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, that we would be true on the inside. And then that being true on the inside would come forth to the outside. And that we would remember here how Jesus is teaching that God loves us. He cares for us. He cares for us immensely. He's worried about details that we're not even thinking about. Or he's taking care of details that we're not even aware of. And so he says here to them, and he says to us, Jesus Christ, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Is this not what we want? On that great and notable day, we stand before the Lord, and Jesus Christ will confess us to the angels. He will confess us, and he will say, "This man or this woman confessed my name to those round about him." It's a message of truth that, yes, there's sin in the world, and yes, we're very conditioned to say, let's stay away from that sin, let's stay away from that sin. But there's on the other rail, on the other side, there's a ditch as well, and it's hypocrisy. Jesus had a scathing message for hypocrisy. Let's be true on the inside that we would love the Lord so much that Jesus would confess us before the angels. Amen.